From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It is summertime. Summertime's great music. Does anybody actually go outside anymore and listen to music?
When we do these sessions.
Not at all. We have in our studios in New York, Will Hermes, Meredith Oakes, and Robert Christgau, all writers for All Things Considered, and they write for a gazillion other things as well. But today they're here, and we're here to talk about new music for the summer of 2007. And let's hear a little bit of this one. It's a new record by the Beastie Boys, all instrumentals. Will Hermes, a new record by the Beastie Boys, and like something else they did, I think it was in 96, an all-instrumental record. Kind of quirky.
Yes, the In Sound from Way Out was a collection of instrumentals that they did way back when.
A staple record. It's a staple record for me as director of All Things Considered. It's a staple record for instrumental breaks for the last 11 years on All Things Considered.
Yeah, it's all about 15 seconds of a track is just perfect. But this they really seem to have gotten down to study their Lee Perry records, study their David Axelrod.
And tell people who Lee Perry is.
Lee Perry is a Jamaican producer who's well known for doing early Wailers recordings, but specifically for doing dub recordings, which are those echo-laden instrumentals.
He's an especially eccentric example of the breed, however, the most eccentric.
Yeah, and he ran a great studio called Black Art.
He lives in Geneva now, right?
Yeah, he's a little more than a little.
He can really be great.
I think he's doing a tour. He's coming like
that. Could well be.
He tours regularly. It's expensive to live in Switzerland.
I reviewed a Lee Perry record recently, and I tried to figure out how many records he'd put out in the past 5 years. It was about 25 or 30.
That's all.
That's just in the last few years.
My guess is that he hasn't heard them all.
Or doesn't remember.
They were tracks lying around, and somebody put out a record and called it a Lee Perry record.
Well, this is a record of instrumental tracks. The Beastie Boys are a big fan of instrumental funk and instrumental dub reggae of the sort that hip hop producers would sample. But this is them actually playing full length instrumental tracks beginning to end. There's not one rhyme on the entire record. Fans of their emceeing will be disappointed.
But if you don't like their emceeing, you'll be delighted.
Not necessarily.
I mean, it sounds like there was, I don't know, it sounds like they were burning a few during these sessions. It's a very smoky,
incense
sort of record.
Incense. It's called a mix-up. Will, why don't you pick us another cut from the record?
Let's listen to The Kangaroo Rat.
Okay. And it comes out June 26th. The Beastie Boys, Kangaroo Rat. Scoot that cut in a little bit more. Just see what happens a little later. Maybe go a couple of minutes in. I'm just curious. I haven't heard this whole record yet. Let's hear it. Well, so much of great dub records and great reggae, so much of rock discovered reggae back in the 1970s. And Robert, Chris Guy, you bring to the table a record that's being reissued here 30 years later.
That's right. It's called Two Sevens Clash by Culture. It didn't actually come out in the United States until 86, but it came out in England and Jamaica in 77. I happened to be over there doing a punk story, and all of my friends told me I had to buy this record, that it was a great record.
Lucky soul.
And I think, with the possible exception of Bob Marley's Burnin', it could be the best reggae album ever made. Including all of the rest of Bob Marley's catalog. I know that.
Strong words.
Yes, they are strong words. I mean, Joseph, well, let's play a little.
Yeah, and then come back and talk about it. Pick me one.
Get ready to ride the train to Zion.
Wow. How did I miss this record?
Now, I will say that if you're not sympathetic to Rastafarian ideology, or if it turns you off, you're not going to like this record. This is not a record like a Bob Marley record where he's trying to reach out and have more internationalist politics and talk about the poor and all. This is straight Rasta stuff.
Yeah, it's
Two Sevens
music.
Clash was 1977, and I guess for some numerological reason they thought this could be when
this was it.
The big thing
the
was going to happen, and it didn't.
Happen.
And it, yeah, you know, and it didn't. And Joseph Hill, who was the singer there, had a very long and successful career leading this group Culture. And they made a lot of pretty good records, but they never made a record nearly as good as this one. Mm-hmm. This record doesn't, and it's 10 tracks. It doesn't have a bad track on it. It's the backup band is an early version of Sly and Robbie, the band called the Revolutionaries at that point. I believe you just told me that Robbie was playing guitar and not bass on that record.
That's right, yeah.
But in any case, that was the great, those are the great session musicians in Jamaica ever. Joe Gibbs was the producer. Hill and Joe Gibbs soon parted ways, as artists and producers always did in Jamaica. But he had that, you know, I've been trying to think how you characterize that voice. The only other voice I could think of that's like it is Winston Rodney's voice, Burning Spear.
From Burning Spear, yeah.
And, you know, you're tempted to say, oh, it's very African. But I've listened to a lot of African music, and I don't know any voices from Africa that sound like that. You know, it's just a way of saying it sounds eerie or weird, or I don't know what it is. I don't know that it's African at all.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a story connected to this that because of this numerological belief that the apocalypse or something was going to happen in 1977.
July 7th of 77.
On July
7th. 7,
exactly.
Oh, that's right.
When four sevens clashed, which was 7-7-77, people in Jamaica would not leave their house. There was that level of cultural trepidation. Even people who didn't quite buy into it were just like, well, why not? Why tempt fate?
Well, what happened last year with 666? Nothing, I guess.
No, I don't know. Well, hey, it could be July 7th, 07. Could be. could be it.
Okay.
In any case, you know, I like that track because I think the lion is so cool. But
that lion is Lee Perry Lion, by the way. Lee Perry originated
you know, the lion
that
of
sound
and that,
effect.
Of course, that's the Lion of Judah.
The conquering highly, Lion of Judah.
Wasn't a bong hit.
Jah Rastafari. But it sounds like that. It's the tunes are so good. I mean, every melody is absolutely indelible. And the singing is all in that particular style. The song, the record has a mood like few records I know. It's one of those records that when you want to hear it, you don't want to hear anything else. You want to hear Two Sevens Clash. It's a great album.
This 30th anniversary collection, they doing anything special with it?
Yeah, there's an extra five tracks, and only two of them are completely useless dubs. useless unless you really love dub, which I don't.
Some of us
like
do.
The Beastie Boys. no, I mean, there's Iroy and Uroy are rapping on some of these tracks. If you noticed in Joseph Hill's voice, there is a little toaster in there as well as harmony group. He combines those two things, the harmony group tradition of, say, the Heptones, with the more recent Big Youth, Uroy, Iroy dubbing tradition, tradition.
And they were the proto-rappers, really.
Right, they sure were. And every once in a while, he breaks into a bar or two of talk, all integrated into this incredible groove. It's
good.
It's a mysterious, wonderful record.
Well, it comes out. Does it come out July 7th?
No, it comes out. Oh, Josh, you know, maybe it does.
Let's see.
It's a Tuesday.
Excellent.
Oh, no wonder.
Don't leave your house.
I suspect.
Stay inside.
Oh, you just know that Randall Grass at Shaunakee knew what he was doing. For some reason, that did not occur to me. Hilarious. Great.
That's wonderful. Let's move on to something else. This is, we're looking ahead to the new releases for the summer. It's All Songs Considered. But so far, if we look backwards, Beastie Boys, and we've looked at this reggae thing. But I'm going to do at least one, maybe even two more this show. One of which is this is weird to say the same in all these words in the same sentence, but a new record by Nick Drake, right? So it's not really a new record by Nick Drake. Meredith, folks, tell me about the family tree.
Well, as the story goes, supposedly after Nick Drake died in 1974, he OD'd on antidepressants at his parents' house, and fans would show up at his parents' house wanting, craving to understand, the mysteries of Nick Drake. And supposedly they were nice to these folks, these seekers, and would play them these reel-to-reel recordings, and sometimes the fans would leave with a cassette. And these cassettes have been circulating for decades and as bootlegs. So here they are presented on this this Family Tree CD.
It's cleaned up.
Cleaned up a bit, yeah, but still, fly on the wall, intimate, Nick Drake in his bedroom in his parents' house.
And these were recordings really made before Joe Boyd took him into the studio. And
Before Five Leaves
he
Left.
He was doing folk songs by singers he loved.
Bob Dylan,
Burt Jansch, and also the one
Jackson,
I like the best here.
Jackson Frank.
Yeah, and Blind Boy Fuller, which, obviously he's a blues fan, but he really, you could hear his love of Piedmont picking, which is this syncopated country hill style of blues, and that's on this record, and it's really nice.
There's a couple things I want to share from this record. Pick me a cut, and then I'd like to find something, too.
Well, I mean, you can also hear him duetting with his sister, if you want, or his mom sings on this record. Home with the Drakes,
which is
the Osborne family.
Well,
but,
you pick a cut. I want to hear the mom thing for just, even if it's 20 seconds of it.
Well,
let's
do the Blind Boy Fuller one so you can hear him picking guitar. The song is called My Baby's So Sweet.
Yes, mama, yes, girl, hear me calling you. So sweet, my sugar, so sweet. My baby, don't you go, hate to see my little sugar go home. So sweet, my sugar, so sweet. But my baby, she done gone. Oh, I thought I was treating her right, must have been doing her wrong. So sweet, my sugar, so sweet.
I think it would be good to hear other stuff just because, I don't know, you get a sense of where Nick Drake came from. There are two things that struck me, Meredith, if it's okay if I pick a cut or two.
Sure.
When was it his mom singing? Because, gosh.
Molly.
She's good. Molly's good.
Well, and, it's a family tree, you know? That's,
exactly. So, the apple doesn't fall far.
Exactly.
It didn't at all. And so let's give a listen to just, 30 seconds of his mom's. It's called Poor Mom.
After a lifetime of dreaming, poor mum, poor mum, whatever became of your scheming? Nothing worked out in the way that you planned. Nothing was quite as you thought. Try very hard not to misunderstand. Joy as it flies cannot be caught.
Boy, she can sing.
Yeah.
It's a talented family. They weren't in, I think what's going to be included in the final package is an essay written by his sister.
Oh, it's a letter to him, really.
Exactly. It's beautifully written. I cried. Really. Wow.
It's absolutely
so
heart-wrenching, yeah. And it's going to be in the liner notes. There's a bunch of this stuff coming out. They're re-releasing the box of his material and a DVD of live performance coming out. So
right. There wasn't a lot of stuff, but they've scraped together some things.
What do you think about all this? You see this a lot with as a generation of musicians get older. Nick died young, but so many records coming out of stuff. The Elliott Smith double record, Elliott Smith, that's out.
Right. Well, if it was stuff worth hearing in the first place, then why not?
But yeah. Especially somebody like Nick Drake, who is so beloved, and there's so little. For some reason, it just doesn't smack of exploitation the way that it might in
for
the case of someone else.
Nirvana?
I would like it to be noted for the record that I've maintained a discreet silence throughout this entire discussion and will continue to do so.
Well, let me play another cut then, not feel. It's a Jackson Frank song. He's an American musician, went over to England in the mid-60s. Paul Simon helped produce a record by him. He's a tragic story in and of himself.
Yeah.
Jackson Frank, a guy who, when he was 11 years old, saw a furnace explode in his class, music class, and kill like 10 or 15 of his fellow students. But you should hear his voice, and I don't want to play for Jackson's sad story, but we should just listen to a little bit of Jackson Frank here and Nick Drake doing this Jackson Frank on this record called Family Tree by Nick Drake.
Catch a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I've gone, the blues are the same. Go bring me whiskey, baby, go bring me gin. Me and room service, honey. Me and room service. Me and room service while we're living a life of sin.
I listened recently to the original Jackson Frank version of that, and it's not all that different. And
there's a few other
it's
Jackson
good.
Frank
I must
tunes
admit,
on here.
It's good. That's really good.
Okay, we brought Robert up. Hang on, everybody stop.
Yeah. he is not singing his own song so far. That's been a help.
Well, there are some of his own songs on here.
Oh, Robert, I am going to forward you each of the emails.
It's sort of like Rastafarianism. I mean, either it's a religion that you either buy into or...
That's true, and fans are going to love this. And 28 tracks, none of them have appeared before anywhere.
I mean, we don't have other versions of his doing these songs, is that right?
That's not true.
No.
Some of these are early versions of things on Brighter Later.
Yes.
Not on Brighter Later, but Five Leaves Left.
That's right.
A couple of them. Day is Done.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't read anywhere because I didn't get the full box, but I had wondered when Joe Boyd played some of this stuff for other people to hear. I wonder if it was any of these tapes, because he had some demo tapes that Nick had made.
And these were pretty widely available as bootlegs. Like, I have a bootleg version of most of this material. Not all of it.
But
not the stuff by the mom.
Right.
But this stuff has been circulating for a while.
For decades. So it is true that people would go to his parents' house and they'd leave with a cassette.
Well, the parents were quite proud of their son. And, you know, I mean, it was at a time where really, for those who weren't living then, when Nick Drake was Nick Drake and making music, there weren't a whole lot of people who knew who Nick Drake was, certainly in this country.
Until that Volkswagen commercial.
Well, right, and everybody ran out and bought Pink Moon,
I
mean, he sold some records. But I think his parents really were, when someone would take the time to go to the house after he died, they were taken by it.
They wanted to be in the place where he died, which was sort of ghastly. And then you listen to these songs, and he seems like even more of a ghost, you know. The only image I have of him in my mind are these black and white photographs, you know. And listening to this, it seems like even more.
It's also worth noting that Joe Boyd, his producer, who is quite a figure in British and American music over the last 30 plus years, wrote a biography that has some good Nick Drake anecdotes in it called White Bicycles, and was just published a month or two ago.
And for those who haven't heard, we did an interview with Joe Boyd that's on an earlier All Songs Considered. You can go back in the archives and take a listen. Let's do something completely different. Let's bring out something. Will Hermes, you pick me something that
a look ahead, perhaps?
A look ahead, because I'm looking at this list, and there's a couple more look behinds, but what the heck, the look behinds of new material. Pick me something completely different.
Completely different. How about Tegan and Sarah?
Great.
The Quinn sisters, the Quinn twins,
From Canada, yeah.
From Canada, although this record was recorded in Portland, which seems to be where all self-respecting indie and major label indie rock artists make their records these days. The Shins are based there. Modest Mouse are based there. And this duo... This duo has been making interesting records. They sort of started as kind of a folky folk rock duo, but they've been getting more rocky and weirder. And their last couple of records they did with help from a couple of characters in the New Pornographers, who are a great indie rock band. And this record they do with Chris Walla, who's the guitarist and producer behind the Death Cab for Cutie records. But this doesn't sound all that much like Death Cab. Actually, it's kind of a new wave sounding record, and I think it's their best record. It's called The Con, and it's about as far as I can tell, about a collapsing relationship, as so many good records are. It's high strung. It's exciting, and it's just got good pop songs on it.
It's time to hear some. What song would you like to hear?
Let's hear "Back in Your Head," which I haven't been able to get out of my head.
Great. I really like these folks, but I didn't like that song. Could you pick me something else?
Love that song.
What
did
you like about it?
What's back in your head?
You don't like the lyrics?
It gets into that place in my brain that it's kind of like an earworm, and it
is it those like really clipped vocal phrases and that twitchy kind of.
Well, you know why, Bob? Because you lived through the '80s and you were making music in the '80s.
That's
right. That's why.
So just play me something else. I want to get a flavor of this record because. Like I said, I love their stuff.
Let's try track 3, which is the title track, The Con.
I listened in, yes, I'm guilty of this, you should know this. I broke down and wrote you back before you had a chance to forget, forgotten. I am moving past this, giving notice. I have to go, yes, I know the feeling, know you're leaving. Capsized, staring on the edge of safe.
who produced this record?
Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie.
God, it sounds like Missing Persons.
I know. Don't you want to choreograph a robotic dance routine
Bob,
to that
mad?
Song?
Can I produce this record?
Bob is like, I love Death Cab for Cutie, and I do not like this record.
What a combination. That's all I could say. What a combination this might have been. But look, I've heard two bits of two songs. I will take the record home.
It sounds like a new wave record, and if you don't want them to make a new wave record, then you're going to be mad.
Yeah, this is one of those records that is obviously going to polarize fans.
Speaking of polarizing fans, and Meredith Oakes, when I saw Tegan and Sarah, I saw them open for Ryan Adams.
Who loves them. He's been singing their praises forever.
Boy, what a great show they both did. And now I've heard a little bit of the Tegan and Sarah record. I've also heard a whole bit of the Ryan Adams record.
Yeah.
It's called Easy Tiger.
And do you like it?
Hey, Meredith, I had to tell you a quick story, which is just before the show, Robin said, well, we got all the records together. Robin Hilton, he's our producer. And he said, you got all this. I said, well, I don't have this. He said, you do have the Ryan Adams. I said, no, I don't have the Ryan Adams. He said, I gave you the Ryan Adams. I said, yeah, but the moment I heard the record, I put it in my giveaway pile, which was in my car down in the garage that I had to go get. So that's how I felt about that record.
Wow.
What do you think?
I like it.
I like it, too. I think it's as good a record as he's made in a little while.
I think he's a hell of a songwriter. I think he captures that used up, you know, closing time feeling in his songs, especially here. And I like the way his voice is developing. I like his singing. And I like that, you know, these records feel like a band, even though he has dropped the Cardinals from his...
He's dropped the name from the record.
This is just a Ryan Adams record. But he really, you can hear this is a group project. He surrounds himself with people he likes to make music with, and it sounds very collaborative to me. And I like the songs.
Play me something, because you know how it is. You listen to a lot of records. You can be in one mood one day, one mood another day. Maybe it'll strike me this time. But
we'll try track one.
Okay, what's it called?
Goodnight Rose.
I think the two Bobs here are convinced.
I am in agreement with the fact that his voice is doing stuff that it didn't ever do before. I like the voice. He's a guy for me that he always puts all the things seem to be in the right place many times in the way he puts songs together, and yet I still can come to not like it. Does that make any sense?
I may have felt like that about a thing or two he's done in the past, but overall, I like this one. I like this record. And I've liked his songwriting, you know, going way back, even before Whiskey Town, when he was in a punk rock band called the Patty Duke Syndrome. He was writing great songs.
And the Whiskey Town were a great band.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw him do a very peculiar show, touring an early tour on this record just a few weeks ago up in Kingston, New York. And it was him and the Cardinals. Everybody was sitting on stools. No one got off the stools. The lighting was such that you couldn't really see anyone's face. And on top of it, Ryan Adams performed with no instrument, just singing, with dark glasses and a hooded sweatshirt with a hood pulled up over his head. So somebody during the course of the show, they sounded great. But it was all songs from this album, which were mostly kind of low to mid-tempo songs. And somebody screamed out, Greta Garbo! And Ryan Adams just pulled his hood a little bit tighter around his head. So I don't know what's going on with him. I'd heard that maybe he had gone through rehab or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
Rehab?
No rehab. He's enjoying his rock stardom, I believe. Such as it is.
Goodness. There are two things that Ryan Adams made me think of, the two records that are out, and they're both Thompson records. One's Linda and one's Teddy. Linda Thompson is a fantastic singer for all these years, was married at one point to Richard Thompson. They made not just a baby, they made some of the best records ever as a duo, and she's come
Thank you, Joe Boyd.
Yeah, God bless
again.
Joe Boyd again, that's right. Mm-hmm. And Linda Thompson's new record is utterly fantastic, produced by a fellow named Ed Haber. Ed Haber is an NPR.
Oh, Ed Haber, Richard Thompson fan club major domo forever.
He's a producer for WNYC, engineer, I should say. And in fact, I met him when we did our Bjork show in New York at the concert. He was the engineer who put all that together. Terrific guy. And that's not why I'm doing this record. I'm doing this record because it's an absolutely stunning record. And I'd like to just play you something. It's a cut called The Way I Love You. It's a CD called Versatile Heart. It comes out August 14th. And it's slow. You know, this won't rock you out, but enjoy.
I wish that you were here, running round my heels. Only you and I know how this lonely feels. I never fell in love the way that I love you. Father, brother, son's too much for any man to do. So you fly and you fly, fly away. So you fly and you fly, fly away.
Oh my gosh.
She sounds great.
Unbelievable. I don't know how somebody can sing. Just her voice, that could have been recorded when she was in her 20s. But yet it's, I don't know how to say this. She's more mature, but it still is every bit as heartfelt and fresh as it was then.
And didn't she go through a period where she had some sort of affliction that she couldn't sing?
Right.
And just she didn't make music for 20 years? It was a really long time. But wow, yeah, this record, she sounds great. Was that Anna McGarrigal singing harmony vocal?
Yeah, there's Wainwright's
wow,
and
Will.
McGarrigal.
I'm impressed.
Holy moly.
She's got that voice, that high little rhapsodic, mousy voice.
Her son, Teddy Thompson, is all over this record. Richard Thompson is not on this record, but there's a Richard Thompson we talked about as a spring issue that's just coming finally out now. And so we got the Richard, we got the Linda, and the Teddy, and they're all really good records. The Teddy Thompson is a quirky one. He does...
It's a family tree.
It's a family tree.
Another one.
Boy, what a good family. And they're all intertwined with the McGarrigles and the Wainwrights and the Rufus Wainwright and all that stuff. This second generation of kids, famous great musicians who have children.
What is the twining between Teddy Thompson and the Wainwrights? Is there some twining I don't know about?
He's pals with Rufus,
pals.
And he hangs with Martha.
Right.
No genetic, no gene pool, thank God.
Yeah, no coupledom.
Or no romantic.
And Linda Thompson on her new record does a song that Rufus Wainwright wrote with a duet by Antony on it.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool
stuff.
The
ubiquitous Antony.
Yes.
I can't remember if it was Nick Drake who Linda Thompson had a fling with.
Oh, wow.
Was it? Because I remember seeing...
I must have missed that part of Joe Boyd's book.
I think maybe it wasn't Nick... Was it Nick Drake? It was one of those British folky guys, and I think it was Nick Drake, because Teddy Thompson was saying that it was a running joke, oh, Nick Drake could have been your father.
That's a good joke.
Well, it's British humor, you know.
That's a real laugh line.
Let's give a listen to a little bit of this Teddy Thompson. He does an earnest tub... Oh, I shouldn't have told you. I'll do you anyway.
Ernest Tubbs. All right.
He does a version of Walking the Floor Over You.
And we would have known that was Ernest Tubb.
But wait till you hear the way he does it. But wait till you hear how he does it. Go for it.
You left me and you went away. You said that you'd be back in just a day. That day is come and gone and you're still away from home. I'm walking the floor over you. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking.
So it's an album filled with old country tunes, the Bootle O'Brient and
Felice.
Felice, thank you. Felice Bryant.
Is that Teddy Thompson playing guitar? He's a really good guitar player.
He's a good guitar player. Apple doesn't fall far from tree.
Yeah, it's another, again, the family tree.
Yeah, indeed. So anyway, a good record from Teddy Thompson, a great, fantastic record from Linda Thompson. Robert Christgau, have time to spend with the new Paul McCartney record, a single we put on the last All Songs Considered, and of which I skimmed just before I came down here and was rather impressed by just about all of it. And how about you?
Yeah, well, I'm a notorious non-Paul fan, and when I was asked to review this record, I warned them about this. But the fact of the matter is that I like this record, except for the covers record it did after Linda died, which I think is a remarkable record.
That's your favorite.
And a great act of love. I mean, I have great respect for his feelings for Linda. Great marriage. This is, I think, my favorite Paul McCartney solo album. And it's an album... We're almost exact contemporaries. And there's a good deal of death and regret on this record. Track 12 is called The End of the End, and then the track 13 is called Nod Your Head. Now, it's impossible to say exactly what Nod Your Head is about, but I like to tell myself that it's about a truly disabled, really old person who can do nothing else but nod his or her head and is being asked to respond in that way. Huh. Coming after The End of the End, which is definitely, it's a song about what he wants done at his funeral. Mm-hmm. At least it's a plausible...
Tell jokes was one of the things I
remember
right, in the song.
Yeah, right. and good stories. And I like both those songs very much, and I love Ever Present Past.
Yeah, which was a single.
Which is a song about having worked too hard and wanting and wishing that he hadn't, and wishing he'd spend more time loving and less time working.
A lot of death and regret.
And this is a guy who, I mean, I think as stars putting time into love is concerned, he did better than a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So he should feel that way. There's also a song called Gratitude, which seems to be about his recently estranged wife, or at least it could be imagined to be about that wife, in which, I mean, you know, that was a very bitter breakup. And it's about his gratitude to her.
Those are all
remarkable songs.
We'll talk about the music when we come back. This is a CD called Memory Almost Full. It comes out June the 5th. And Paul McCartney, let's give a listen to the last cut on the record called Nod Your Head. It's a minute and 58 seconds. It's just great. Let's listen to the whole thing.
We'll be right back.
Boy, is that fabulous.
Noisy. That's
is that
awesome.
The Starbucks record?
Yeah, yes, that's the is. Starbucks
record. Well, at least they're putting out something that rocks, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, it's not the only
Here
thing
Music
that
is the name of the label, yeah. But Starbucks is putting it out. Is Starbucks is the owner of the label? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, yeah.
Boy.
Oh, I think that's a very powerful piece of music. What it reminds me of, however, is Good Morning, Good Morning from Sgt. Pepper.
On June 7th is when this record comes out, which would be 40 years, give or take a day, when Sgt. Pepper came out.
Right.
It was 40 years ago
40
today.
Years ago. Now, is there some of the adventure that Sgt. Pepper had? That was McCartney's goal for this record, or the challenge David Kane, I think the producer, was, that Paul made to the producer was, we want to do something adventurous. Do you think he succeeded there musically?
Sure, I do. But I don't think that a lack of adventure has ever actually been Paul McCartney's problem. I believe that a problem has been focus, a great weakness for whimsy.
Right.
He's done a lot of quite imaginative things on his records. They've just been kind of icky. This is not icky at all. At least not. There's a track on the record called Vintage Clothes.
Yes.
That's a very, very interesting song, mm-hmm. but that I think probably flirts with the icky. It's also it seems to be a song that says, it's a little hard to tell what he's talking about, but we're all wearing vintage clothes. There's as his exact contemporary, I felt a certain generational chauvinism in the song, which I do my very best to live without. I felt the old. There was a certain old ways are the best kind of thing going on in it.
Something like a recent review of the Summer of Love exhibition at the Whitney Museum in New York, where the reviewer Holland Cotter, I think it was, said that the people who are now embracing 60s fashion and music and styles are kind of doing it in a shallow sort of way. And I was sort of, how
do you know? Because you're not me? Yeah, no, I can't stand that stuff. And he has been guilty of it. I'm not positive that if I were to really think hard about what vintage clothes means, I'm not sure that that's a worthwhile endeavor, that I would reach that conclusion. But I got a whiff of it. Other things, the four songs I've named, and also the first song is called Dance Tonight. And the first time I heard it, and I said, how does he think he can get away with this simplistic stuff? It's a very, very simple tune with a strummed guitar that sounds almost like a banjo.
I think it's a mandolin.
Oh, is that a mandolin?
Yeah,
oh, that
mandolin.
Explains why it sounds like a banjo.
Don't ever tell a
Good.
Mandolin player that it sounds like a banjo. They'll hit you over the head with a banjo.
Hit you over the head.
But in fact, when I played it up, I put things in a changer. It would come on, and it would immediately brighten the room.
Let's listen to just 30 seconds of that, and maybe even 30 seconds of the finished clothes thing, just because they're two very they're wide ends of the
spectrum. I want to get to Gogol.
I want to get to other stuff too. 30 seconds, just. Now, if we just scoot over to the vintage clothes thing, we're just going to play 30 seconds of it, and you'll just hear the scope, and I'm looking really forward to sitting down with this record.
Don't live in the past. Don't hold on to something that's changing fast. What we are. What we are and what we wear is vintage clothes. Vintage clothes. Vintage clothes. We jump up for joy. Who cares if we look like a girl or boy?
It's with the icky, but it doesn't bring the icky home.
I don't think that's icky at all.
No, it sounds great, actually.
I like the way it sounds. It's something about production. The sentiment that I don't altogether trust.
Was there whistling there?
It sounded like it. There's a lot going on in the production.
There's an incredible amount of whistling songs. I think it's a whole story to be done. Saw Andrew Bird recently, the Peter Bjorn and John, the last couple of shows we've done at the 9:30 Club that we've webcast that you can hear.
Whistling to the bank.
And nobody's weirded out about the Starbucks connection.
Well, I don't know if I'm weirded out.
I think it's the most remarkable thing. They're going to play in every Starbucks in the world for 24 hours. That's an incredible piece of cross-marketing. And they're going to sell our records.
And good for them, because I have to say that what Starbucks has put out, with a few exceptions, has been pretty good. They've done those Artist Choice compilations.
They did the Ray Charles Genius Loves Company, which was hugely successful.
Right, and actually I saw the new Feist record, which I adore, prominently displayed at my neighborhood Starbucks. So I'm like, okay, get with that. They can sell some records.
With this, though, it seems like maybe they're moving away from the lesser-known artists and back to
the more known artists, which did really well for them.
Here's a bigger question. Do you think that that the record label matters anymore? Do you think that...
Apparently not.
Do people buy records because of record labels?
Do people buy records, I think, is a better question.
People never bought records because of record labels, except in a few very specific.
So you saw a record on Harvest
examples.
Records, you wouldn't say, oh, Harvest Records.
Of course not.
I don't know. I think sometimes with indie rock labels, I have to say, if something came out on Matador or on Sub Pop, I'd be more likely to listen to it.
It didn't work with Apple Records.
But Will, that's you. I mean, I certainly... I'm aware that records have oral philosophies, and I mean, especially indie labels, and I pay attention to it, but I don't think that consumers think about it very much at all.
Well, they'll write to us, and they'll tell us.
Yeah, people listen to this show, because I think there's a certain level of, I don't know, and I say this admiringly and in solidarity,
a
certain level of geekiness to the listeners of this program. God bless us all.
That's right. We are them, and they are us, and we are all together. So we'll pick a Robert, you had a pick a band called Gogol Bordello.
Gogol Bordello put out a record called Immigrant Punks 3 years ago. It gets the best rock album of the decade. Period.
Wow. More strong words.
Yes, more strong words. I gave it an A at the time. It's a record I've since played for dozens of people of varying ages and ethnicities. Everybody likes it. It's led by a guy named Eugene Hutz, who's a Chernobyl survivor from the Ukraine. The band has a rather elderly violin player. Hutz himself is in his late 30s. A couple of female dancers who do... moves that look like they're picking potatoes.
On the record?
No, on the live show, which is how they stayed.
Maybe the greatest live band in New York.
Yes, absolutely. They do this famous thing. At the end of every show, there's this enormous drum that one of the women is beating, and it goes out into the crowd, and the crowd holds it up, and then the woman climbs on it and starts to dance, and then Hutz climbs on it, and they do other things on top of the drum. And they do this every... I've seen it twice, only twice, and it was... It's completely astonishing both times. And Hutz himself, and they tour 200 nights a year, and these guys don't just tour America. They tour Bulgaria. I mean, they go everywhere. And for a while, the songwriting wasn't that great. And then on Immigrant Punk, Hutz, who is not a native English speaker, started writing these great, great songs. The melodies, maybe not always perfect. The lyrics were wonderful. All right, let's play... the first track here. It's called Ultimate.
Sure.
If we are here not to do what you and I wanna do and go forever crazy with it, why the hell we are even here? There were never any good old days. They are today, they are tomorrow. It's a stupid thing we say, cursing tomorrow with sorrow. Down! Well, we stand here in a row, looking like a bunch of heroes. I know that deep inside, nothing more but a bunch of zeros. Down!
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That really makes me want to drink.
Hutz is with you. I mean, Hutz claims to be a gypsy. He's very interested in gypsy music. This album apparently has an Italian gypsy orientation that, to be honestly, I don't understand what it is. Taranta probably refers to Tarantella. I hear one song about Tuscany. But that first quatrain, there were never any good old days. it is today, it is tomorrow. It's a stupid thing we say, cursing tomorrow with sorrow. Now, that is basic English by a guy who's not an English speaker. What is it, 25 words? Says everything you need to know about life.
Well,
pretty great.
I really love the fact that on their website, Gogol Bordello have all their album reviews unfurled on toilet paper, which is, you know, precisely what they are suggesting that you do with an album review. You know,
it sounds a little like an Eastern European Pogues, just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, I mean, I worry. Hutz is such a ball of fire, and this band, their gigs are 2 hours long. They are very, very high energy. And as I say, they're traveling all over the world. I looked at their tour schedule once they were in New York. They were going to be in Newport News, and then they were going to be in New Hampshire on successive days after that. And they were not flying.
They were wearing a hoodie and sunglasses. They were not being Greta Garbo.
I worry that I don't know if he has any artificial ways of keeping his energy up, and I worry he's going to fall over. I've said this before. It concerns me.
He does seem
me,
in better shape than Shane McGowan, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, well, I was going to say he's not Shane McGowan. I mean, they seem pretty healthy. He's definitely into drinking, but it's not the same kind of thing. He's not into decrepitude. McGowan was into decrepitude. He thought it was kind of cool that he was falling over. Hutz wants to climb on the drum and hump the girl. That's a big difference.
And he will tomorrow night in a town near you.
Bless him.
Great. I just want to remind folks that you can hear all of these full cuts, at least assuming we get all the proper rights, at our website, npr.org/allsongs. And this is, I'm just going to play this song because I don't know if any of you know this group. I just only heard, I know this group, but I've only just heard the CD today, and I'm just going to play a cut, and we'll go from there.
Choose me to be your champion. I am possessing of a very righteous style. I understand what's happening. I have charisma and, of course, a winning smile. I stand accused of being an audacious redeemer. Not a charge I can deny. I have refused the way of the liar and the schemer. Shipwreck, how ancestors of islanders are we? How the ship sank like a sinking think tank. Our memories are gone and sunk at sea. We have allowed ourselves to be insulted by invaders for the longest of years. I will employ all of my cunning and my patience. Then we will persevere. I find I can get behind heretical ideas and make them real. You do what you want to do. I cannot tell you how to feel, but if the grievous
days... That would be a double bill, I'd say, with Gogol Bordello, and this is Rasputina. You folks know Rasputina?
Yeah, wow. The girls with the cellos. Yeah.
That's right. I know little about them other than...
In the underwear.
I didn't know about either of those things, and I liked them.
Yeah, they used to play in Victorian undies.
They're very much into Victorian.
Black.
Yeah, a lot of flowing stuff.
Well,
boy, that sounded pretty good.
That sounded pretty good. I don't even remember the name of the record. It's called Oh Perilous World, and it comes out soon enough, June 26th. I just had to play that because when I heard the Gogol Bordello and heard this record earlier today, I just thought, there's something about the two. And is Gogol Bordello based in New York?
Yeah.
And so Rasputina is also based in Brooklyn. Let's pick one more and we'll go out. Summer music for 2007. Will Hermes, why don't you do the last pick here?
Well, Spoon is a band that had been around for a while, indie rock outfit led by Britt Daniel, who's they've kind of evolved into this minimalist pop outfit. So I guess I should be minimalist in talking about them. He's does very simple, stripped-down songs. This record's called Ga, 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 Ga.
You got all the guys in there.
It's a little bit less minimal than some of their other stuff because, I don't know, he got money for a horn section or something. But this is sort of a Motown-y, summery sort of song, which in the tradition of Gnarls Barkley and other people who are, and Amy Winehouse, who are making Motown-y sort of singles. It's a pretty good one. It's called You Got Your Cherry Bomb.
Sounds like a perfect way to leave us. Let's hit it warm under Andy Rosenberg, our engineer. That means he hits it so it's not too loud and doesn't bury my voice. I'm Bob Boylan here in Washington, D.C. Robin Hilton produced our show today. Will Hermes, Robert Christgau, Meredith Oakes, thank you so much. This was fun.
Indeed.
Thanks, Bob.
And you all know this, that I'll be leaving All Things Considered to focus more time on All Songs Considered, so we'll get together more often, huh?
Excellent.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye.
Let's hear Spoon.
Lost it long ago, you and me. Now you go your way back from the spirit bar. Brush your teeth for bed, blow out that cherry bomb. Blow out that cherry bomb.
Let it go on and on. I could pay you tonight, hand all you cherry bomb. All I could be so fair.